This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
Welcome to Betting Weekly Extra Time, European edition, the first show of 2024 as we kick on with bigger, better and ballsier plays. You're with myself, Dan Robert, while senior handicapper Steve Wiss is as ever alongside me. The challenge remains, but with a slightly different format. Back to defend his title is Italian football journalist and broadcaster Daniele Fisichella, the challenger, US handicapper RJ. Belated Happy New Year to everyone and indeed all our viewers and listeners. Steve, we have upped the stakes for the second half of the season with the European show.
Well, Happy New Year to you, Dan, Daniele and RJ. And yes, we're changing up the format a little bit. We're going to get you more picks. Everyone's going to be having a double unit selection. Everyone's going to be doing the same game parlay. The hot dog is going to count towards the challenge picks and records. You'll be able to see the hot dog come up on the graphics on the screen now as well. So, yeah, you know, we're mixing things up and let's get ready to rock and roll.
RJ, early start for you. Thanks for coming on at an ungodly hour stateside while you were sleeping. You don't quite know the chaos that you were causing in the WhatsApp group. It wasn't your fault at all, but we thought that you picked a Friday game, but you didn't because we're trying to ban Friday games. We know that the show goes up on Friday, so we're trying to push games towards late Saturday and Sunday and Monday if we can. So US bettors have got a little bit more time to digest our picks. But RJ, you didn't know any of that. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to be back with you all. Happy New Year, as you said. And yeah, I woke up to about 7 deleted messages and then the laugh emoji. So I was like, I have no idea what happened. But yeah, let me dust the cobwebs off and get ready to get at it. So yeah, it's good to be back with you all, and looking forward to this unique show now that we have with various different picks. So
And Daniele, you are a font of knowledge when it comes to Italian football. You know more than I will ever forget. Don't worry about it. You will forget more than I ever know. Let's get the phrase right. Yeah, you're a little bit snookered on the fixtures. But how are you, my friend? You're
right. I'm all right, thanks. I mean, I blame it. Maybe the fact that you were after Christmas. But I thought that RJ picked a Friday game, which was Genoa Torino. But there is a reason behind it, because the last four games of Genoa have been played on a Friday, and they played six games in total on a Friday season. So I thought, yeah, Genoa Torino smells like a draw, smells like an under. It must be a Friday game, of course, because they want to sell the Italian league all across the world with such a big game. But actually, it's a Saturday.
We have got to play
on a Saturday suddenly now.
Yeah.
Look, it is a little bit different this week, as we mentioned. Four plays counting for the challenge, including, as Steve suggested, a best bet two-unit pick. Plus, we will be looking ahead to the game that we think will have the most handle across Europe this week. And that's going to be the Milan-Roma clash in Serie A on Sunday. That's a 2:45 Eastern kickoff on Sunday. We're going to start, though, with all of the boys' best plays. And we're going to kick off with Steve. If you've been playing Steve's picks over the course of the season, you will be in profit. It's Mets Toulouse that we're going to kick off with here. 9 a.m. on Sunday. Mets plus 210. Toulouse plus 140, the draw plus 220, over and under line is 2.5, plus 112 overs, unders minus 137. Bit of a basement battle here, Steve. You sense that these two teams maybe need to take the handbrake off if they are to retain their top flight status. How do you see it?
Yeah, I'm starting the year with a bet in Mets against Toulouse, and I'm going over 2.25 goals. You can now back that at minus 113 on BetRivers. And I'm getting involved in a match which I believe is completely under the radar, or I thought that no one was even looking at this game. Although, hint, hint, RJ's got a different angle on it. So maybe everyone will be looking at this game now after this show. But, I mean, if you look at, I've said all year, Mets' big problem is scoring goals, right? Well, they brought back their top scorer from last season, George Mikutadze has come back on loan from Ajax. They sold him for 16 million. He's on loan for the rest of the season, and they can buy him at the end of the year for 10 million if they want. And he actually left at the start of September. He's still their second highest scorer. which is a ridiculous statistic. 23 goals last year, 8 assists. I actually think, you know, sometimes there's a magical button you press and all your problems are fixed. I think he could fix all their problems up front. This guy is really good. Didn't work out for him at Ajax, but not much has worked out there this year. And I think Mets are going to be much more offensively better in the second half of the season. I'm going to be targeting overs in their games. And it's a good chance against Toulouse, who, I mean, I watched Toulouse in the Coupe de France last week, and they were conceding big chances to 50-a-side Chambéry. It was alarming how poor their defence was. Both teams are missing defenders or defensive-minded players to the African Cup of Nations. And I really think they've both got to go for it, like you say, Dan. So the over stood out to me. It's more a feel bet. It's not a stats bet. If you look at the stats and the metrics, there'll be a different sort of outcome that some will look at. RJ may well be looking into that in a minute. But both sides now have got a really good striker each. Teal Dainga for to Toulouse is someone that's reliable. So I think Mets can get back on the goals train at the start of... I actually wouldn't be surprised if Mets win this game. They're not a bad underdog.
Well, Mets are plus 210. Doesn't feature in the hot dog section. That'll come a little bit later. Steve's going over 2.25 goals at minus 113, did you say, at the moment, Steve? So it's
minus 113 at the minute.
Yeah, minus 113. One's minus 118. I usually let the defending champ go in the challenge, but as Steve has suggested, RJ is in direct competition with Steve with his two-unit play. Same market, other side of the bet. A bigger price, so come on, RJ, present the case for the defence, quite literally, because you're going unders.
Yeah, and I think it begs the question, you know, have I been drinking? Because normally I don't take unders, but the reality is I'm trying to do a dry January. It didn't last after about a week. I'm looking at like a damp January right now. But yeah, the reality is, this is one of my favorite plays of the weekend, under 2.25 at minus 108. I normally don't take unders, nor do I like to go against Steve here, but here we are. So Mets are in 14th position. They're struggling, having lost their last four matches. Toulouse, on the other hand, are in 16th. They're winless in their last 10 league games, with their last victory coming 3 months ago against Mets. And they've only won two of their 17 matches this season. Steve talked about some of the key players, which I won't really dive into. But both teams are struggling. As we talked about, they're near the bottom of the table. They're desperate to avoid points for regulation, right? So when you look at a match like that, you know, there is, I understand where Steve's coming from. There could be a possibility of, you know, a desperate times called desperate measures. So you just... You bring the wolves and you try to attack and get those points. So it could create for an opportunity here for some goals. But one of the reasons outside of the stats here is the conditions. What I was looking at was around 1 degree C for this match. So it's going to be cool. It's going to be just around freezing, which we talked about earlier in these shows, that could have an impact on the match, especially the first competitive match back for these teams outside of that Coupe de France that Steve talked about. And, you know, when there's a fight to escape relegation, you know, the match could go both ways. But from a statistical perspective, you know, Mets are god-awful at home. They failed to score in 83% of their last six or seven home matches. They averaged 0.5 goals for, 0.8 against. And now neither side very rarely keep a clean sheet, but you look at the road side, Toulouse, they failed to score in three out of their last six matches, also averaging 0.5 goals for, but conceding just under two. So at 2.25, I feel like there's a good chance to get at least half stake back and half win here. I could see two goals here, but truthfully, I had a hard time seeing over two goals in this match.
Interesting one. So complete difference of opinion with the two-unit plays from both Steve and RJ to kick off the show. Let's get Daniele, who is the defending champ's first play. This is a two-unit play, of course, and it's Sunday, 6:30 Eastern. It's Lazio against Lecce. Lazio minus 167, Lecce plus 510, the draw plus 285 here. Daniele, emotionally fractious win, I guess, over Roma in the Coppa in midweek for Lazio, but because they won the game, I guess they're going to be full of confidence going into this one.
They are full of confidence. They're looking to make four wins in a row in Serie A for the first time since last April. Now, this is far away from the idea of Sarri's Lazio. There have been Sarri's teams playing much better than this Lazio at the moment. Even last season, Lazio were better, but they got more harmony about them and they got a better fighting spirit. And I think slightly their numbers, especially defensive numbers, are improving. They don't score many goals. They've only scored more than two goals in one occasion this season when they beat Atalanta 3-2. But, you know, five clean sheets in the last 10 games. Zaccagni, Anderson looking a little bit more inspired. Zaccagni scoring the penalty against Roma without Immobile, but Castellanos not doing too badly. Provoked the penalty against Roma as well. Won at Udine, hard fought win. Beat Frosinone recently. And, you know, I think they got enough about them to beat a struggling Lecce side, who, by the way, only won one of the last 14 games. So they are in a downward trend. I know some people hate when I talk about expected goals, but if you look at expected goals, just to mention them again, Lecce will be penultimate in the league. I think they are over achieving in terms of the goals they haven't conceded. And I remember in the reverse fixtures, they won 2-1. Lazio were far superior up until the 80 minutes. Then they hit the bar and Lecce won 2-1, which incidentally lost me the bet. So I'm not sour at all. That's why I'm going for Lazio. Asian ending at -1 plus 112. If they win only by one goal margin, you get your money back. It could be a low scoring win for Lazio, but nonetheless, a win against the side, as I mentioned, Lecce also missing a couple of good players, Banda and Rafia, both in the AFCON. Sansone is injured. Yes, I think the home win should be a strong pick here.
+112, -1, Lazio on the Asian handicap. It's the only two-unit play that's plus money. Daniele's come up with the goods again for us. Talk about plus money plays. Hot dogs on its way. This is a section, of course, that has been making money over the course of the season. Steve has contributed that by and large, but all of our handicappers, since we introduced it, for all of them to take a play and have contributed to the current number. We've got three plays again here, Steve. We're going to go to the Bundesliga first of all, and Borussia Gladbach against Stuttgart. This is 11:30 Eastern on Sunday.
Yeah, and talking of dogs, Dan, I'm loving that bit of artwork behind you, by the way, on the wall there. What's the story with that?
That's a William Wegman print. Who my good lady could tell you more about, and she's the artist in the family
now. I mean, that's got to be a good sign for the hot dogs, right? With you,
I suppose it is. Yeah. Well, I've relocated to the west wing of the property just to record the show today.
Oh, he's got wings.
Mixing it up. Loving it. Where were we? Yeah. I got to give a pick here for this hot dog, and I'm back in Germany. The Bundesliga returns, and one of my good old favorite teams to back this year, Borussia Mönchengladbach, and I'm going to take them straight on the nose at +250 to beat Stuttgart. And I've said all year, Stuttgart, that they've played some great football. But really, if you look at the squad, I think you've got to expect a regression in the second half of the season. But especially, they've got some squad problems here. Their main man, Saru Girasse, is on African Cup of Nations duty. I think he's well worth backing in that competition, by the way, for top scorer. You can get 40-1 on him. But they haven't actually picked up a point in the Bundesliga when he's not been on the field this year. He missed two games to injury. They got beaten in both those games, including losing at Heidenheim. They've also got players at the Asian Cup. Hiroki Ito, I think, has been a really good defender for them this year, Japanese. And one of the Korean attackers, who I'm not even going to pronounce, but we'll call him Yong. Terrible with Asian pronunciation, Dan. But I can't believe, I'm not having this, Dan. Stuttgart are odds on to win this game away from home. That's an absolute joke. Borussia Mönchengladbach are capable of beating anyone on the day. I've always said that. I think they must be one of the best teams in terms of money line overall, because they're capable of beating, at big prices, I think, in the second half of the season, especially. This might become prominent. You never know what 11 they're going to have, because they've always got a lot of injuries floating about. They've got about five or six on the questionable list, but it seems more favourable than Stuttgart. I'd be on them, I think, even at a shorter price here. I think it's huge value. Stuttgart do not deserve to be odds on away from home in this game without Girassi, without two or three other players on international duty. So Borussia Mönchengladbach, I'm willing to take them straight on that nose.
Plus 250 for Gladbach to beat Stuttgart. 9 a.m. Sunday is our Italian pick from Daniele. Cagliari against Bologna. What's the play here, Daniele, for your hot dog, for your big price play?
It's a big money play because it's a Cagliari win against fifth place Bologna. That plays plus 195. Now, Cagliari are unbeaten in 5 home games, 3 wins. And obviously, they are building their salvation credential based on home wins because their away form is awful. They got problems, both teams. You know, Bologna got the problems that sometimes they look too good on the eyes, but they haven't got enough cutting edge. Cagliari got the opposite. They don't look half as good on the eyes, but they don't really score many. They seem to mount late comebacks and win dramatic games at home with scoring in the late minutes. But they're going to be without a few key players. Cagliari missing Lapadula, Oristano, Luvumbu, score 6 of the 17 goals so far. Bologna, on the other hand, missing the only top scorer they have, Zirkzee, 7 goals. He's suspended. Now, Bologna, 6 away draws so far. He's a team that likes to dominate possession, keeping the ball well, but they play a lot in front of the opposition defense. They don't have enough players going in behind the lines, and they don't have a clinical striker. Look at the numbers of Bologna. They only score 22 goals. Only Torino in the top 10 has scored less goals, and only 7 players have scored so far. Zirkzee is not going to be there for this weekend. The numbers are really, really dangerous, I think, because you cannot build a team just based on clean sheet, 1-0, controlling the games. Eventually, if they want to finish in the top 7, they need to start scoring more goals. Last season, Steven Posch, the defender, scored 6, none so far this year. Orsolini scored 11, only 4 goals so far this year, and no goals from the likes of Salemaker, Doye, Christensen, Freuler. These are all regular stars that they should at least contribute. I think Bologna are a great surprise, a team that I love watching, but very, very difficult to bet for when they play away from home. That's why I like the Cagliari win plus 195. As I said, often at home, they show the best version of themselves, and is a good way to back them, considering, as I said, Bologna missing the top man, Zirkzee, up front.
Yeah, we've got a couple of money line picks from Steve and Daniele. Of course, you can read between the lines. If you want to play on the Asian, you can do. But the boys are putting up some big picks here for you to consider. And we've got another as well from RJ. And again, it's the Bundesliga, Saturday 9:30 as the German top flight returns. We've talked about Union Berlin, RJ, on this show and indeed Champions League show an awful lot. We've got them right a few times. We've got them wrong a few times. What's your play here there, taking on Freiburg?
Yeah, Freiburg. I like Freiburg at home, minus 1, plus 205, big number. Freiburg has shown mixed results in their recent performances, winning 4 and losing 2 of their last 6. Most notably, they won 5-2 in a friendly against Eintracht Frankfurt. Take that as you will. They're currently in 8th place in the Bundesliga. I think, since Union made their coaching change, they've shown some pretty good improvements, right? I think no one will argue that. But on the road, they've been dreadful. They have, even in their last match against Bochum, they lost 3-0. Bochum sitting right outside relegation zone near Union. However, Bochum has been pretty good at home. I think they won their last 4 matches. So something to be said there. But this match looks similar to me, in my opinion. Freiburg will be without Nicholas Hoffler due to suspension. Additionally, Ritsu Duan will be absent due to the Asian Cup. He plays with his native country, Japan. They also have some injuries, sidelining some long-term players, Daniel Kyren, Christian Ginter, Kenneth Schmidt, Max Rosenfelder, Felix Leinhardt. You know, list goes on, right? There's quite a bit of injuries with them. However, due to the fact that, you know, their home form has been tremendous. They've averaged 2 goals. I wouldn't say tremendous. They've been pretty good. They averaged 2 goals, 4 at home, allowing just 1. They've kept a clean sheet in 40% of their last 6 matches. Union on the road averaged 0.4 goals, 4, right? They have a hard time finding the net. They failed to score in 4 out of their last 5 matches. They averaged just under 3 goals. So they conceded around 2.8 goals. So bottom line is Union's dreadful on the road. I expect Freiburg to at least win here. So I think there's a good potential for return stake. Yeah, they could win by one and we'll get our money back. But honestly, I have a hard time not seeing Freiburg come out with a victory here.
Yeah, I like the plays. I like the minus one for the home teams. They've just got to win the game and you're not going to lose. And obviously, if they win by two or more, you'll get that big play from RJ at plus 205. We've got some single unit plays to get through next from all of our handicappers this week. So we'll rattle through these. We've got a big match preview to come as well, plus a same game parlay that we're also going to list from all of our handicappers a little bit later on in the show. Let's get the second pick from Steve next. We go back to the Bundesliga, Mainz against Wolfsburg, Mainz plus 123, Wolfsburg plus 220, draw plus 245. But with Mainz, Steve, as we know, it's all about the unders. This is tried, tested. This is a cashing machine from your good self.
Well, I'm sorry. It's a bit of a boring pick now, isn't it? This
There's nothing boring about winning money, ever.
Well said. I mean, you hardly had to be Mystic Meg to predict that I was going to produce a Mainz under bet. And I look, this is a train I'm just going to have to keep riding, Dan, until it comes off the rails. I've not even got any notes for this game because I've said it so often that ever since
we just clip up the previous show. And
well,
the one
Yeah. Obviously, they caught me out initially when they changed the manager, but ever since then, I've been on the unders train with Mainz. Jan Sievert has brought in a style which is has made them more defensively solid. But the problem with Mainz is no one can score goals, and they haven't gone into the transfer market yet. So nothing's changed. They've got to bring in a striker, you know, and this is a big problem for Mainz. And until that happens, until they change their personnel, I'm not going to trust them to hit the back of the net. Now, Wolfsburg are a team I don't often get involved in. I think they're actually really hard to predict this year. Any version of them is capable. And they do have more tendencies for overs. But, you know, in their last away game, they only beat Darmstadt 1-0. There was a 1-0 before that as well. So I just think the style of Mainz will not promote an open game. And, you know, under 2.5 goals can be backed here at minus 107, which is a big price on a team that has games that contain so few goals. I mean, these matches are going well under. You know, it's not just like one-all draws. There's nil-nils in there. There's one-nils. And I will keep on this train until I say it. So I fall off, Dan. So Mainz against Wolfsburg under 2.5 goals. Simple as that.
Bundesliga has been an overs league this season. Only three teams, if you've been playing level stakes, have shown a profit for unders. Mainz, naturally, is one of them. What are the other two? Throw open to everybody. The other two sides in the Bundesliga.
It's got to be Köln, but
Köln is one of them.
Be careful with Köln, by the way. They've changed their manager.
Okay.
So everyone knows I've been liking Köln unders. I quite like their overs now, actually. And I'm thinking the third team, Dan, could be someone's phone's going off.
Yeah, it's my missus's phone. She's not picked it up. Sorry.
A little background, a little like Jeopardy music.
Pick it up.
Well, I don't know where the phone is. But I'm in her office, basically, so it's on her computer as well. Yeah, sorry about that.
What about
Dortmund? I don't know where she is.
Dortmund for the third team? To Borussia Dortmund?
Which one?
Dortmund.
Correct.
Hey. Ding, ding, ding.
And the phone stopped. And the phone automatically stopped.
Yeah, this is it. Exactly. So you can't phone a friend.
Can't be any better on timing. So
it surprised me, Dortmund. I just naturally think if you played overs, you'd make the money. But anyway, we'll move on from the quiz. Let's get Daniele's second play here. Juventus Sassuolo, which is Tuesday for us. 2:45. Juventus minus 250. Sassuolo plus 650. Tuesday night in Turin, Daniele. Juve and Coppa action ahead of this game, but obviously their focus is on the Scudetto. I mean, just very quickly on that, I mean, do you sense that they believe they can chase down into their plus 275 for the title?
Massively, they can believe because they're only 2 points behind and, you know, credit to them for keeping the league alive. And also, because of a strange fixture combination, now Inter having to play in the Super Cup, so missing a game, they might arrive on the 4th of February at the San Siro, 1 or 2 points ahead of Inter, which will change the complexion massively, because then after 15 days, the Champions League restarts. Juventus, of course, are not playing in Europe, so anything can change. Is up for grabs, really. Is much tighter than what the odds suggest.
Okay, Sassuolo are going to visit Turin for this one. This is an interesting play because I didn't think you were going to go for a play like this. This is a bit uncomfortable, as Will White, our good friend, would suggest. Come on, Daniele, what is it?
Because, I mean, the last defeat of Juventus came in September against Sassuolo. They lost 4-2. It was shambolic, and we thought the limits of Juventus have emerged again. Lack of press, lack of coordinated press, lack of focus in defense. Since then, no more defeats, and Allegri has erected the wall on the ruins of the defeat at Sassuolo, and they won 6 games 1-0, 3 games in stoppage time. As I mentioned, they are 2 points behind Inter, so they've shown the rock solid granitic mentality that has carried them through in a, you know, in a fight for a title that probably few would have expected it. They've scored 15 goals less than Inter, Juventus, but, you know, ugly wins still count 3 points. But now enter the giant killers of Italy, the most unpredictable team of all, Sassuolo. Sassuolo have beaten Inter, Juventus, Fiorentina, who occupy the top four position in Serie A. Still, they are 5 points adrift from salvation. You wonder why? Because they got an extremely leaky defense, only one clean sheet so far this season, 1-0 against Fiorentina last weekend. Forget about the scoreline. Fiorentina missed a penalty. Consigli made 4 saves that are amazing. But also, they got goal scorers. Berardi, 9 goals. Pinamonti, 7 goals. They score more goals than Vlahovic, Chiesa, and Rabiot together, which are Juventus' 3 top scorers. So definitely can score goals. Their temper, their reckless approach to games sometimes unsettles the top teams in Italy that try and attack them. And yes, still they concede a lot of goals. I can't imagine them going to Turin and win 1-0. They won 3 games out of the last 6 against Juventus, so they're a little bit of the nemesis. Let's make it absolutely clear. I think Juventus is going to win this game. I think they're going to win 2-1. Or 3-1, probably another hard-fought win. But, you know, do not discard Sassuolo scoring first, and do not discard my pick, which is both team to score, -109. 68% of Sassuolo games have been both team to score. I know Juventus are the master of 1-0, but, you know, against Sassuolo, anything can happen.
Yeah, got a puncher's chance to score, that's for sure. And -109, just a shade shy of even money for both teams to score, yes, in Juventus against Sassuolo. We're going to stay in Italy for Genoa-Torino, which is a Saturday 8 a.m. Clash, sure, which we established. It took us about 4 hours to do that for RJ's second pick. It's almost each of two in terms of the money line. Torino slight favourites. The over and under line is just 1.5 when you look at the BetRivers site at the moment. So we're expecting a low scoring game, it would appear here. 12th versus 10th. Both have been profitable under 2.5, but under 2.5 is pretty short, and we've managed to squeeze a little bit more juice out of this one, RJ, with the Asian goal line. Talk us through your play.
Yeah, the match that caused quite a bit of controversy this morning.
You would not believe it.
we were phoning the Italian FA to find out.
Yeah, no, it's...
I understand why they moved it from Friday to Saturday, because people in Genoa are so used to go to the match on Friday night.
It'd be a nice Friday night, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Daniele, you got it wrong. This is it. You've got to let it go, mate. Let it go.
Yeah, so we're looking at Genoa versus Torino. I like under 2 at -110. They play at Luigi Ferrari Stadium, which, Daniele, do they manufacture Ferraris in Genoa? Or,
No. Ferrari is the surname.
All right. Slightly different. Anyways, thought we had a little something going there, but I guess not. So Genoa is in the middle of the table after a 4-match unbeaten run, 3 draws and a loss. They recently drew 1-1 against Bologna. Torino, on the other hand, are in 10th place. They're known for their, well, let's face it, not much of an attacking style, progressive type gameplay.
They scored 3 against Napoli.
Daniele beat me to it.
No, I think it's a good going for.
Absolutely. Yeah, so they had a 3-0 win against Napoli, so they got the wheels churning, so to speak. And maybe we'll keep that going, but I tend to think otherwise. So Genoa and Torino, about mid-table, right? Predictions. I think both teams are content to avoid defeat here, right? They'll be content to come out with at least a point. Genoa has had some recent transfer activity with Radu Dragunsson leaving to go to Tottenham. Yep. And then Torino, I guess their only notable injury right now that I can see is Pierre Schurz, who he's been out for a long time. And I don't think he's necessarily a massive loss at this point. They are where they are. So this is a match to secure valuable points, in my opinion. Looking at the stats quickly, Genoa 0.83 goals for, 0.6 against. So just around 1.5 goals average at home over the last five matches. Torino, 0.33 goals for, so just two goals scored and six goals allowed in their last five away matches, which equates to 67% failed to score on the road. Both teams have a 33% clean sheet rate. Again, hard to see goals here. Under two, minus 110. And quickly, speaking of controversy, I'm just looking hot off the press here. Bill Belichick and Patriots have parted ways after 24 seasons. And I know we're here to talk about the other football here. Well, the original football, arguably. The American football side. I mean, I know my day is going to consist of now, oh, Bill Belichick's gone. What do we do? Who are we going to get? I'm not Adam Schefter. I'm not a football analyst. But I figured I'd mention that because that's pretty massive news amongst the sports world. And just like this play that had a lot of controversy, Bill Belichick and the Patriots parting ways is going to have a lot of quite as many.
Yes.
I'll tell you what's massive news. Is this the real RJ? Like, or are you an imposter? It's two underbets on one show. Is this someone different? Is it a new year, New Year's resolutions, RJ? He's looking at the under market.
Yeah. You know, I
worldwide trends are overs. Everything's overs at the moment.
Oh, everything.
Although not in Italy, to be fair.
Not in Italy.
Yeah, I don't know, Steve. To answer your question, I'm obviously an overs guy, but I felt, especially on this show, to be more flexible and just try to find opportunities. I've always shied against. I didn't even really look at unders, to be fair. So yeah, new me. We'll see what happens. You know, usually when I go unders, things go the opposite. But feeling good about these two unders here.
Okay, under two, minus 110. That's Genoa Torino, 8 a.m. Saturday. Now, same game parlays in the UK. We call them bet builders. Same game parlays in the States and elsewhere. It very popular amongst the younger bettors. Obviously, you've still got to be over a certain age, depending on which state you're in. But certainly new generation of players like these. I'm 52. I mean, I steer well clear of these. But all you guys are much younger than me. But RJ Danielli, what are we saying about how old Steve is here? I'm going to put the line at, I don't know, 35, over or under 35, Danielli, for Steve.
Yeah, well, he's younger than me, for sure.
Over 35?
No, under.
Under 35, RJ?
Younger than
me. Have I pitched this line too high? RJ?
Steve, you know you're my man, right? I'm just going to go over because I went under.
Steve,
it's the only reason I got.
It's just over 36.
Happy the way I pitched the line there at 35. I must admit, I was gonna go lower because he's got all his hair, but anyway,
I like some of us,
Talk about hair. Well,
same game parlays. We're gonna have to be quick, we're running out of time, so we need these rattling through. We've got one from Steve, one from Danielli, one from RJ. And rather neatly, we're talking goal scorers, or a goal scorer or a shot on target is included in each of these. So, Steve, what's your same game parlay?
In the French league, Lille against Lorient, and the same game parlay is Jonathan David to score any time and Lille to score over 1.5 goals. Now, I'm pretty sure Lille will score twice against this really poor Lorient defense, which is missing its best defender, Talbi, to Tunisia and the African nations. And I think Jonathan David, we talked about on the show quite a lot this year as an underachiever. He has an XG of nearly 8, but he's only scored 5 times. But I think he's in the shop window a bit in January. I think some teams are going to be looking at him because he still has a lot of pedigree. Now, last week, Lille beat a team called Golden Lion in the French Cup, 12-0. And he scored a hat-trick of goals, and he also supplied 3 assists. And I actually think it will get him going again. It kind of reminded me of a cricket match I played in a couple of years ago. I'm the captain. I played cricket in over in the UK. Some of you know that. And I'm the captain. And I got wind that the opposition were going to be experimenting with some young juniors. So I fancied myself to open the batting and score a few runs. And, you know, they were calling me a flat track bully and unfair, and I should have been giving other people a chance. But I felt bloody good after it, Dan. I'm not going to lie. And I think it's the same with Jonathan David. It does gold. So who cares if it's Golden Lion? He's going to be this week. He'll be full of confidence in training. He's scoring goals again. End of his career. No one's going to remember Golden Lion. So I think David is someone actually that could restart his motor. Watch out for him in the second half of the season. He's going to score against Lorient, Dan, definitely. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if he scores multiple goals against this horrific defence. So that looked a good same game parlay to me. David to score any time, plus Lille over 1.5 goals. This
it
is
was clearly,
plus 104
it was clearly
now.
David, not against Goliath in that case.
No, it wasn't. Definitely not. Very good. I hope there's goals in this game, because I'm on duty for this one for TNT Sports in the UK. I've completely bucked that because it's bound to be 0-0. Monday 2:45, Daniele, you've got one for us here. One of my favourite players, and I'm not quite sure why, but I commented on a few of his games when he's playing in the Netherlands. This is Atalanta Frosinone. Talk us through your same game parlay.
Atalanta to win and Twin Cup Mainers over 0.5 shot on target. So at least one shot on target plus 114. Now, Atalanta home, very, very reliable. 9 wins, 2 draw, 2 defeats. They normally get the job done against the lesser teams, Lecce, Salernitana, Genoa, Cagliari, and so on and so forth. Frosinone, highest percentage over 2.5 goals in Serie A. Someone believes they can just get saved by scoring 3 or 4, outscoring other teams. I don't think that's the road to salvation. They need to start letting goals in, but can actually do it. And why could Miners? Because his numbers are the numbers of a forward. Last season, he scored 10 goals, 3 goals in the last 2 games, scored twice in the Cup against Milan. He's on penalty duties and he's had 28 shots so far in Serie A, third highest shooter from Atalanta, who, by the way, are missing the top goal scorer, Ademola Lookman, and Scamacca might start on the bench. So automatically, Coop Miners becomes the main weapon. They play with a false nine with Miranchuk. So Coop Miners is going to have a lot of chances to shot at least on goal. If they got a penalty, he'll take it. I like it. I think Atalanta are going to win against Frosinone. They are reliable. It might be high-scoring games. And I like the Dutch midfielder to be on, at least have one shot on target, plus 114.
Yeah, got 15 in one season at RZ. He's always been on penalties. He's got a great record, Coop Miners. Let's get RJ's same game parlay. This is Almeria against Girona. We go to Spain here, and again, we're featuring a shot on target, plus a win, a money line win. RJ, what's the SGP, as I'm going to start calling it from you?
I like that. Yeah, SGP. Yeah. So
it's
looking at...
It's going to catch on.
Sure is. Artem Dovbyk, the Ukrainian national, who leads Girona. I like him to have a over 0.5, so one shot on target and a Girona win. Quite simply, Almeria, bottom dwellers of La Liga, just 5 points in 19 matches. Their performance has obviously been underwhelming. They have a slew of injuries and members that nobody may know that are in international duty. No offense to them. I just, for sake of time here, I'll just omit their names, but and partly because I can't pronounce them, to be fair.
Almeria, and, I lived there. You know, I lived there one year.
Oh, do you?
I lived one year. Oh, yeah. Yes, and that year they got promoted to the Spanish top division. Manager was Unai Emery.
Ah, of course.
Really?
Bit of a fact. I mean, completely irrelevant to the betting, but
good knowledge.
No, I like that. I like that. That's what we're here for. So, but yeah. Girona, who obviously have been a surprise, right? I mean, we've talked about them. They continue to overperform and continue their strong dominance. They're in second place, tied with 48 points with Real Madrid right now. So they're looking to continue their challenge for the top of La Liga, right? They're expected to win this game. I expect them to win this game. And both sides have different reasons, right? Almeria are desperate to get out of the relegation zone, although that looks like a tall feat for them at this point, but Girona will be too strong for them. Dovbyk with one shot on target and Girona win was too good to pass up at minus 113.
Like that one. That's the Almeria Girona game in La Liga. Now we are running out of time, but we will get everyone's thoughts on the Milan Roma. I've done copious amount of notes for this. Not going to use hardly any of them. Milan plus 125. Roma plus 225. The draw is plus 230 here. This is the big game in Italy. We think it'll take the most money in terms of a European game over the course of this weekend. It is a key game, of course, when it comes to Serie A. A lot of pressure now building once again on Jose Mourinho after his Coppa Italia exit for Roma at the hands of Lazio. And obviously, Daniele Milan were beaten as well by Atalanta. You referenced the Coop Miners spot kick in that game. I mean, you know, which team is going to suffer the most because of that cup defeat, do you think? He'll be hurting today.
I think more Milan, because they haven't won the Coppa Italia in the last 21 years, but equally Roma haven't beat Lazio in the last four derbies, and the lack of big wins in games should be concerning for Mourinho. Last weekend, 1-1 against Atalanta, only 7 wins in the last 19 games against top oppositions in Italy, and often these games are low-scoring games, so really, really concerning for Mourinho. They turn the halfway through the season 8 points less compared to last season. Milan, on the other hand, have got had a favorable fixtures in December, won 6 of the last 7, but they played against smaller teams, and they are in a little bit of emergency, especially at the back. This is going to be a very difficult game, but nonetheless, the big absentee is in the Roma's camp. They're going to be without Dybala. They already missed 10 games this season without Dybala. They are really toothless. They don't have a lot of ammunition up front, so they could be risking another quite heavy downturn here.
Steve, what are your thoughts on this one? Money line, Milan have been profitable this season. Have they been underestimated by the odds makers? Roma are losers. People tend to back Jose Mourinho's side. What are your thoughts on this one?
I actually thought Milan would be odds on here. I thought there'd be minus money on them to win on the money line. So if I was to take someone in this market, it would be on the home team or minus 0.25 on the Asian handicap. Mourinho's never beaten Pioli on the head-to-heads. They've only faced each other five times, though. But actually, my angle for the game is the cards, Dan. The cards is what I like here. Over 5.5. The history of, huge history of cards in this fixture, like to an astronomical level. I mean, there was two of the last 5 have had 12 cards in them. I mean, these two must really hate each other. It must get really intense. And plus 104 for over 5.5 cards look good. And I think red card, yes. Plus 440, that's got to be worth a little nibble.
I mean, there's been 3 red cards for Roma in the derby. A red card for Mourinho against Atalanta is not going to be on the bench against Milan. Milan have picked up 5 red cards so far this season in Serie A. No other team have picked more. So yeah, it could be a game with cards. It could be a really tense game. Yeah.
RJ, any thoughts on this one? Any over-unders play? Anything that you've looked at when it comes to the big game in Italy on Sunday?
Not really, Dan. I mean, I had a slew of notes too, and I'm not going to go over them, but there's a lot of missing players here due to suspension or Africa Cup of Nations and just various tournaments. But it's hard not to see anything but a Milan victory here. And I say that from a pure metrics perspective, with Roma failing to score in 4 of the last 5 matches, Milan with a 60% clean sheet rate. I just have a hard time seeing goal production from Roma in this big match.
Yeah, I must admit, I like both teams to score in knowing this one. So cards for Steve, we're thinking sort of Milan on the money line. Daniele, have you got any sort of lean in this one before we wrap it up?
I like them both to score. Both defences don't quite convince me. I want to see Theo Hernandez playing a centre-back against an alleged top opposition. Roma have only kept 1 clean sheet in 12 away games. It was the derby. So I think both to score. Mourinho should throw a caution out of the window at some point.
There's a head-to-head here, Dan, by the way, before we move on. 10 of the last 11 meetings have been both teams score, yes. And I'm not one for head-to-heads, but this might be more significant because of the rivalry. So that's interesting. That really caught my eye, that, did. I quite like that BTTS, yes.
Just a reminder of the plays in terms of the prices. I'm going to ask Steve who's going to win the challenge. Daniele's got the 2-unit play at plus 112, then a minus 109 second play, the same game parlay at plus 114, the dog at plus 195. RJ's got a 2-unit play at minus 108, the dog at plus 205, the SGP minus 113. Sound like Jack Wright with all these numbers. And minus 110 for the second unit. Steve, who's going to win the challenge?
Well, for the first time, I'm forced into predicting Daniele, because obviously RJ is against my own two unit
player. Yeah,
so, you know,
because you like
that makes it easy. That makes it easy for you.
Yep. So, okay. I feel good about that.
Yeah, I will say that that pick against Union Berlin on Freiburg, I do like that. I think that's that could really be a big hitter now that the hot dog's going to count on the profit.
Yeah, we've got four picks that count for the challenge this week. Steve, Daniele, RJ, thanks for your company. Good luck to all. We'll keep everyone updated across our Twitter feeds over the weekend. That is a wrap for Betting Weekly Extra Time European Show. I'll be back alongside Steve next week, as will one of Daniele or RJ, who will be up against Rory Barlow, the editor of Football España. And stay across all of the Bet Rivers content. Plenty of tennis, of course, with Nigel at the moment when it comes to the Australian action. That is via app, because we win from all of us. For now, though, it is goodbye. We'll see you next week.